I want to draw your attention this morning. I hope you heard the last words to that song. God works everything for good, and that's where the world wants to stop it. And then they get angry with the Lord because things don't always work out for the good. But it says the Lord works things out for good to those that love the Lord, Romans chapter 8. It's very clear, to those that love the Lord. I want to speak to you this morning about being a friend of God. Now, you'll notice in our text, John chapter 15, it says that there's no greater love for a person than a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, that's a pretty good friend that would die for you. I read about a gentleman in Iraq, Afghanistan, that was on a platform, and all of a sudden he noticed that a hand grenade hit the platform, and it was couldn't get anything to do with it, so he fell on it because he had some buddies around it, and it killed him, but not a one of them were hurt. And they said, my, he received the Congressional Medal of Honor for it. A man that would give himself for his buddies. Well, what would we give the Lord that he died for everybody on earth, not just for three or four? You know what he wants? Our love and friendship. When the Adam was walking through the garden and God gave him Eve, they walked together in the cool of the evening with the Lord. That was why God made man, was for fellowship, for us to love him, for a warmth, a something that can only be gotten whenever two people are going the same direction and they have the same heart and they have no secrets and they're buddies, they're friends. And Jesus said, I want to consider you my friend. Now, I want you to see there are three things that Jesus Christ, our friend, wants to do for us. But you got to understand this. He doesn't make himself be our friend. Have you ever had somebody try to befriend you and you didn't necessarily want them to be close friends, but they showed up and they just kind of hung around you and they stayed close to you, and maybe they weren't a person that, you really wanted to be around much. Maybe they had a bad reputation or they didn't do things right. And so they just wanted to kind of hang around you. And they wanted to be near you. They liked you. And you had to kind of keep your distance a little bit. Very difficult. Well, what is it like when the Lord Jesus says, I'd like to be close to you, Joe. I'd like for us to be friends. And we say, well, you know, Lord, I'm pretty busy. You know the first thing the Lord wants to do? I think you find it right here in verse number 13. He wants to redeem us. Notice verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for everybody in this room to become a great friend of God. But you can't be a friend of God unless you've trusted him as Savior. You see, the Bible says in Luke 16, there's a great gulf fixed between everybody that's ever born. And if we don't take care of the great gulf fixed, Luke 16, verse 25, beside this, there's a great gulf fixed so that they which would pass from hence to yonder cannot, nor from here to there. And so the idea is that this great gulf is our sin. It's what we've done that we haven't made right. And so the Lord said, look, somebody's got to pay for that sin. It's not just you say, hey, I'm sorry about it. Somebody's got to have to pay for it so that it can be forgiven. And the Lord Jesus died for everybody in this room, and he wants to redeem you so that you can be close enough to be friends to the Lord. And so the first thing that has to happen is you have to accept his payment. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but I love the choir song this morning. I know I'll be there. That's why Jesus died. I cannot tell you the number of times, if I were to speak to 1,000 people about how many of you know you're on your way to heaven, 990 of them would probably say, well, nobody can know that. And yet it's written right here in God's word. He died so that you could have peace. I don't know about you, but I would have no peace if I laid my head down on my pillow and if it relied upon me. I wonder if I did enough today. I wonder if I've been good enough today. You would never know. Now, I would know because I'm a sinner. No way I could be good. I can't be perfect. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. So as a result, you got to pay for your own sin. Jesus said, I'll pay for your sin and bridge the gap. But you have to come to me and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Godly sorrow worketh unto repentance. And so, Lord, I'm truly sorry for my sin. Would you forgive me and come into my heart and save me? And the thief on the cross prayed a lousy prayer, but he got through to the Lord. The woman at the well, we don't know her actual prayer, but she got saved. The idea is, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I want you to save me. That is the number one thing Jesus wants to do for everybody in this room. It has to happen before you can be his friend. You must be redeemed. Everybody in this room, you cannot be close to God until you're redeemed. I am very conservative. If there's a very liberal politician that wants to be friends with me, I can be friendly, but I can't be friends with them because they're going this way and I'm going this way. Doesn't mean I can't be kind to them and nice to them. I would be, but our agendas are different. I'm against abortion. I'm against homosexuality because this is written. I'm against lying and cheating and stealing, and they may be too. But there are things that they want the world to be able to do that I don't think God wants us to do. And so I don't want to make it easy for people to commit sin, to do that which is disobedient to the Lord. So understand this. I have to be friendly but not be close. How can I have the attitude and the agenda of my own and be close to God? I can't be. So the first thing that has to happen, my heart has to change. That happens in redemption. So if you've been redeemed this morning, that's the first thing that Jesus wants to happen to your life. It's the reason he died. Now let's read the verse. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He died for you to be his friend. He died so that in the evening you could walk with him like Adam did in the Garden of Eden. Close. I want you to notice the second thing he wants, not just for you to be redeemed, but the second thing he wants you to be refreshed. Now, I want you to listen to this. Let's say you've trusted Christ as Savior. Let's say you've put your faith and trust in Christ. Kay, do you have a brother? You do? Okay. So you're in the same family. Okay. Josiah, do you have a brother? So you're in the same family with your brother. Okay. Are you guys best of friends all the time? I didn't ask you that. Are you best of friends all the time? Okay, so they both said no. They didn't want to. They want to say yes all the time. We're best of friends. But you know what happens? Probably the reason you're not the best of friends is your brother doesn't do something to you, right? Yep, that's what I thought. Yep. So we do things to Christ. Now, let me say this to you. The Lord Jesus says, I want you to be my friend, and I want to be your friend. Now, let me tell you this. Kate, has there ever been a time whenever your brother needed you to be his friend? Yeah. Okay. Josiah? Okay. All right. Good. All right. So your brothers do need you. You know when they need you? And when you're sort of in a bit of trouble. The Lord, when we get discouraged, when we get disappointed, when we get hurt, we sort of lose our way spiritually. The Lord wants to refresh us. A good night's sleep refreshes us. Well, more than that, if you have your Bible, turn to Acts, if you would. I want you to see this verse. I want you to notice this with me. I'm going to show you two passages about his refreshing to us, about him being refreshing to us. Acts chapter number 27. Acts 27. I want you to notice this. Now keep in mind with me, if you would, in Acts 27, this is the story about Paul being on a boat going to Rome, and he's got he's a prisoner, and his centurion is watching out for him and some others. And so he's on the boat, and they get in a big storm. This storm has lasted 14 days. Now, they're all weary. They haven't eaten anything. They all are worried about dying. Notice, if you would, I want you to see in verse number 20, Acts 27, 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Whenever you and I are in life and hope is taken away, the doctor says to you, you've got cancer. Hope is taken away. Whenever you've lost your job, or somebody says you heard something bad about your job, you think you might be losing your job, hope begins to wave. I'm not sure. Someone does something and you feel like you lose that fellowship with that person, and the hope that you can restore it is kind of taken away. You figure out the problem. This was a storm that the whole ship, 276 people, all hope is lost that we're going to ever make it out of here alive. That's when Jesus says, I want to refresh your heart. I want to cheer you up. I don't want you to feel like hope is lost, because it's not. I am here. And notice if you would, in the actual example, look in verse number 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. He said, look, I haven't said anything. Now, we don't know which day this is. It looked like it's the 14th day. The 13th maybe, or the 14th day. As you look at the circumstances, it's one of those two. Well, you'll notice, if you would, he says in verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Hey, how can we be of good cheer? We're all going to die. Whenever you're in that position, your mate says, we're never going to own a house. We're never going to get a decent car. We're never going to have this. We're never going to have that. I'm never going to be healthy again. We're never going to, and you begin to lose hope. Well, notice what he says. Keep in mind, this is the group that all hope was lost. What restored hope? Notice, if you would, in verse 22, now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Paul, we're in the middle of the storm. Do you hear the wind howling? Do you feel the sting of the water blowing off the waves? Do you feel that? Notice, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. How do you know that? Verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am. Now, there's only one angel of sorts. It's a term meant here, because whose are we if we've been saved? We're Jesus Christ's. An angel of God, a messenger of God, whose I am, notice this, and whom I serve. Jesus stood by me tonight, and you'll notice he says, verse 24, saying, fear not, Paul, thou shalt be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Jesus appeared and refreshed Saul's heart. He refreshed his hope. He said, wow. He got his joy back. And maybe you're missing your joy. Do you remember the passage we read this morning before the service, before Scott got up to sing? It was that your joy might be full. The Lord says, I want to refresh your heart that your joy is consistently full. You know, one of the things that's supposed to distinguish Christians from the world, it's our consistent joy. We don't go like this. Oh, I got a raise. Oh, I got another bill. Oh, I got a good report. Oh, I got a bad report. Oh, I got some more medicine. Oh, I'm hurting. It's that Christians learn to depend upon their great messenger of God, whom they serve, none other than Jesus Christ. He said, look, in Hebrews 13, 5, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you have your Bible, turn. I want you to see the next verse. Look in Hebrews 13. If you would take your Bible. Remember, he wants to refresh us. He wants to restore our joy. Notice, if you would, Hebrews 13. And notice this. Hebrews 13 and verse number 6. Hebrews 13 and verse number 6. I want to refresh you. You're my friend. I want you to trust me. I want you to know that I'm with you. In verse number 5, the last phrase, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That ought to encourage us. That ought to refresh us. But notice, so that we may boldly say, that's what Paul did in the midst of the storm, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I'll not fear what the storm's going to do to me. Why? Because the Lord's my helper. Do you understand? He wants to refresh you because you're his friend. Now, we have to do things to be his friend. Every one of us has got to do things to be friends with somebody. Does anybody know what the verse in Proverbs says? He that hath friends must show himself friendly. How many of you have ever come into church not in a good mood? Don't raise your hand. But you've come into church and you've had a bad morning getting up, a bad hair day. I don't have those anymore. That's the reason I like my haircut. Because I used to have bad hair days. You know, the halo effect. And then you got to like this. I said, I'm getting rid of that. And so I get up every day with a good smile on my face. No more bad hair days, period. Maybe you got a bad hair day. All right. Well, you get up and you're hurt. The Lord says, look, I want to be your friend. I want to encourage. I want to be your helper. Trust me. Let's walk together. I want you to have full joy. I want to refresh you so you can come to church with that bounce in your step. Do you understand? That ought to have, we ought to have a bounce in our step when you realize, Kate, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Wouldn't your brother be pretty comfortable if you said, buddy, listen, I've always got your back. You never have to worry about it. I'll take care of any trouble that comes your way. I'll help you. You get a bad test in your math class and bring it to me. I'll help you with it. Now, that may not be a good thing, Kate. I don't know. Is it? Yeah, it's a good thing. Okay. So he can help his brother. Well, your brother begins to depend on you. Hey, how about a wife that says, hey, look, I want to encourage you, honey. I want to refresh you every day. I want you to know I love you. I'm always going to be at your side. How about a husband that says, honey, I want you to know I love you. I'm always going to be at your side. I will refresh you. I know you got a bad report, but I want you to know we're together in this deal. You know, it was a blessing. Little things, our friends do little things for us. Now, this was a big thing. Jesus says, I want to refresh you, Paul. Now, notice if you have your Bible, turn to Acts. Look, if you would, now. Now, notice if you would in verse number 34. Wherefore, I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. Now, that was good news. Why? He got it from Jesus Christ. You and I can be good news to people at work. We can be good news to people that are facing imminent danger. But we've got to get it first. We've got to be refreshed first. Notice what happened. Verse 35. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. And notice the effect of a refreshed Christian. Verse 36. Then were they all of good cheer. It does not say the wind stopped. It does not say the water stopped raging. It doesn't say any of that because it didn't. But in the midst of the storm, one of the 276 people got refreshed by God and he changed the whole environment. You know, today, why don't you change the environment of your home? Because Jesus has refreshed your heart. He's restored your hope. He's given to you, I'll never leave you. How many of us really believe that. I read it to you right there in his promise. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Paul, in the midst of the storm, the waves are going, hey guys, I got good news for you. The Lord stood beside me today, who I serve, none other than Jesus Christ. And he said, not one hair on anybody's head would ever be touched on this trip. Let's eat and be merry. And they said, okay, you believe that? Yes, okay. And they were all of good cheer. How does that happen? A refreshed Christian can make a difference everywhere he goes. Today, are you a refreshed Christian? Do you know that you're on your way to heaven? You've been redeemed, and you know that Jesus Christ walks with you. Now keep in mind, it's about being a friend of the Lord. The Lord says, I want you to be my friend. But now let's notice the next one. The last one, he wants to restore us. Now watch this. Not only to redeem us and refresh us, but he wants us to be restored, consistently restored. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means you say something you didn't mean to, or you did something you didn't mean to, and you have to go back to somebody and make it right to get restored. Well, notice with me, if you would, I want you to see, if you have your Bible, turn to 1 John. That's the last part of your Bible. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. 1 John, if you would. Notice 1 John, I want you to see verse number 9. I want you to see this. To restore us. Watch this. Verse number 9. If we, Christians, confess our sin, he is faithful. Did you hear that? He is faithful. He's a faithful friend. And just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice this, verse 1 of chapter 2. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And notice this, and I want you to see this. If any man sin, we Christians have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is our advocate. His desire is to give us full joy. He wants you to understand it's forgiven. So today, if you've had a hard week and maybe you've done some things you shouldn't, Jesus Christ says, I want to restore you, but you just have to look at me and say, I'm sorry, Lord. Listen very carefully. Doesn't mean you're getting saved again. That only happens one time because you know it. Once you've put your faith and trust in Christ, I can give you an example. Janet and I have been married, and if I look at her and I say, you know, honey, I'm sorry, I forgot to fill up the truck, or I did this or did that. And I say, look, honey, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Doesn't mean we got married again. It just means it restores the friendship. Now, when Susan went to heaven, one thing I lost was a buddy. Closeness. Friendship. When I met Janet, I sensed the same thing. And when we got married again, oh, it is such a joy. Full joy. Why? I've got a buddy. I've got somebody that's close friend. Nothing between us. I can tell her everything. She can tell me everything. And the Lord says, look, I want you to understand, I made marriage for friendship, to be buddies. But I made you for me. I am your friend. I want us to be buddies. I want to tell you what's in my heart, and I want you to tell me what's in your heart, and I want us to walk together. Today, are you the friend of God? Listen to this. It takes two things. Take your Bible, turn to John 15. John 15, I want you to see it. We're closed. Look in John 15. Look at verse number 14. Ye are my friends if, now keep in mind, we're a child of God, we're in the family, but he says this, you're my friend if you, notice, if you do whatsoever I command you. So if we're obedient to the Lord, we can become the friend of God. If we're obedient, we do one of two things. There are no perfect Christians. So an obedient Christian is one that tries not to sin, but it's someone that confesses their sin when they failed. And so a wonderful, full marriage is whenever I try to do things that please Janet, and I ask her for forgiveness when I don't do those things. Best of friends. That's what I want for you. It's to be best of friends with Jesus Christ. But you've got to be obedient. You can't lie and cheat. You can't curse. Can't lose your temper and say things that just feel off the top of your mind and hurt other people. You have to obey the Lord. And he said, if you obey me, you're my friends. Now I want you to notice what he does. When we're his friend, look in verse number 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the Lord knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. Jesus has no secrets between you and I. He says, I want us to walk together, no secrets. Look here, if you've done something in the past and you haven't told the Lord, I'm sorry, you have a secret. You can't be friends to the Lord with secrets. And you can't be friends of the Lord going your own way. Folks, today, there's a song that was written. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs, refreshing and restoring to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. He's a friend. What a friend you have today. You can carry your griefs to him. Lord, I'm in trouble. The storm is raging. You have a friend. I'll never leave you. Just obey me and let's walk together. What broke Adam's fellowship with the Lord? Disobedience of one thing. Today, the privilege we as Christians have is, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. We can walk together again. It's the promise of God. Everybody in this room can be the personal friend of Jesus Christ, but it'll cost you. It'll cost you your own way. I don't like him. It'll cost you your own way. Love your enemies, son. I'm going to pay them back. It'll cost you. Lord, I'm sorry for that. I'll forgive it. Let's be friends. Today, oh, what peace, joy we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You want to be the friend of the Lord? He wants to be your friend. Take your burdens and sins to him today. Let's bow our forehead of prayer. Are you a friend of the Lord? What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh my goodness. What a friend we have. I'm going to ask the pianist to play a verse of invitation hymn. We'll not play long, folks, but could I encourage you, if you've never trusted Christ, you say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I can show you this morning from the Bible how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Don't miss it. Maybe you're here today and you've not been refreshed. Your joy is partial. You've not been restored. There's a secret between you and the Lord. Would you come this morning, bring all of your burdens and griefs to the Lord? Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. What a friend you want to be to us. Help us to be open and willing to be your friend. In your name we pray. Amen.